welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. And the Lord today placed on my heart to deal in a very practical way with an area that every single one of us, as we live our lives in this earthly realm, have to deal with, and that is the subject of loss and grieving. Now, from time to time, I do invite the radio listeners to write and share prayer requests and become part of my UCM spiritual family. Well, in my monthly letters of encouragement, I share many more personal things than I take the time to share on the broadcast. And one of the things I mentioned a few years back is that I have a dog. She's a senior dog now, but she's really a very sensitive, gentle, sweethearted, loving dog that I've had for, oh goodness, since she was about a year old. And I named her Albany. And the Latin is from the Latin of a city on a white hill. And spiritually, the name or the meaning of the name is securing God's love. So she's been certified as a really sweet and wonderful therapy dog. And just recently, as I've been here now in Idaho, I have pursued volunteer training for hospice using my therapy dog. And there's some just very practical things I'd like to share with you, because if you have not at this point in your life, you will come in contact with those that have experienced severe losses, a spouse, parents, children, and it's very important to know how to minister to them. So let me begin by sharing a passage of scripture found in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Beloved, this is speaking now of those that have died and gone on to be with Jesus. And it's just so precious. I want to read the rest of the verses through verse 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what I'm doing with you right now, all of our loved ones that have died and are with Jesus. Brother Glass, so many dear loved ones that are there waiting for us, we will see them again. But I want to share with you some practical helps how to deal with those that have suffered severe loss. And actually, I'm including, there are those, you know, I'm very much an animal person, there are those that have lost pets. And only if you are an animal person, have lost a pet, can you relate to the sorrow and the sense of loss and grief that that brings. So first of all, let's establish that grieving is very natural. It's a process that we go through coming to terms with loss. It's a process to begin healing. Not to grieve really is unnatural. And as we desire to minister to those who've lost a loved one, for example. You cannot fake or bluff your way in ministering to those who are grieving. They need someone who's emotionally and spiritually mature that can offer some stability because they're numb and hypersensitive at the same time. And there was a survey taken once, and a majority of Americans said, well, they thought the grieving process took about 6 weeks. Well, that's not true. It's not just a short-term process. It will go on at least until the first anniversary of that death, and it could take 5 years or even longer. And you might say, well, I just feel so inadequate and uncomfortable at what to say or do. Well, that's very natural. It's good to feel that way. If you didn't, then it's perhaps best not to even to try to minister to them. But there's four things I'd like to share with you to help you remember that no one has all the answers. It's quite normal to experience and expect feelings of inadequacy. No one is fully adequate to minister, even an ordained minister of the gospel. And secondly, people don't want a degree. They don't want someone who's graduated from grief class management. They just want to know, do you care for me? Do you care what am going through right now? God expects us to be capable of supporting them, those that have experienced loss and are going through great pain. Thirdly, we all hold expectations of how someone should react when they're hurt. Some might scream, some might cry, some might not even, they're numb. They're emotionally turned off. They just kind of shut down. And if they don't respond the way we think they should, we have sort of an innate tendency to reject them. But it's important that you don't project your feelings of how you think someone should act upon them. We need to watch our attitudes. It's their perception of their loss that matters. And we have to allow an atmosphere for them to express feelings of grief without being threatened to say, oh, well, no, you shouldn't feel that way. That we just have to be careful to whatever your experiences are, whatever your attitudes, whatever your feelings, just keep them at the outside of the door, if you will, and just focus on them. That's the fourth thing. Focus on the hurting person, not on your immediate feelings or your past experiences. Sometimes when you experience a situation where someone has had a loss, it immediately triggers feelings, memories of things that you've lost, things that you've gone through. So it's important that you don't identify, but that you empathize. You do the very best you can to be sympathetic and to understand and not to condemn. What can you do? Well, simply, sometimes just being there is the most important thing you can do. Your presence is worth more than anything. You know, when we read the book of Job, and so often, and of course, even the Lord said, they were not very good comforters. But in the beginning, Job's comforters had it right. They saw the greatness of his pain, and they just sat silent for, was it a week or so? And they had it right until they began opening their mouths. So just remember, your presence is worth more than anything. Most times it's not what you say, it's not your words, but it's what your heart, what your expression is conveying. That's what's important. There are three stages of grief, if you will. First of all, there's just a numbness. There's the almost the inability to accept and handle the reality of the loss, whatever it is, whether it's a pet, whether it's a beloved spouse, whether it's a parent or a child. How sad it must be for those parents who've had to bury their old children. You know, even today, as I'm making this broadcast, there was a workman in my home, and he's working for a local heating and air conditioning company. He's done work in the past, and he came out, and I was just, you know, having small talk with him. And I said, oh, they said you had a death in the family and you weren't able to come out to do that other job that I had. And he said, yes, I lost my son. And I think he saw the shocked expression on my face, but he said, let's not go there. And I didn't say another word. I respected what he was saying, because he had a young man with him who was kind of teaching the ropes, and so I wanted to respect what he said. But I don't know any details, but you know what? I was not going to press and I wasn't going to pursue. So, and even though this had been weeks ago, you could tell he was not in his normal condition. He was polite, but he was very rather withdrawn. And so, beloved, we just have to so respect the emotions that people are going through. And so numbness is the first stage. Then there's a recoil. There's some moving forward, but then there's a continual going back to the loss. There's great emotional swings during this period. And finally, of course, there is the recovery process, the third phase, and that's beginning to look forward to the future without that beloved relationship that you had. And you know what? It's okay if they're angry at God. I'm thinking of a couple now that lost a child who in our local church family, and that brother, even though I've tried to reach out to both of them, he's still not serving the Lord because he's angry that God took their only son. What you can do, tell them you love them, that you're praying. Crying is healthy. And you know, when they start to cry, you didn't make them cry. They were crying already. It's important for tears to be released. And don't avoid them. You know, just because you feel there's no right words to say, there are really no right words to say. Sometimes we think that what we say or what we do is going to change their feelings because you want to make them better. But beloved, you can't solve it. This is not a problem you can solve. Avoid platitudes. You know, everything's going to be okay. God only takes the good. I understand what you're going through. No, beloved, you don't. Only Jesus really knows. You can say something like, I can't even begin to imagine what you're experiencing. Sometimes silence is better than speaking. Sometimes, a hug is better than a scripture verse. And in a practical way, say, can I bring you dinner tonight or Tuesday? Be specific, not what can I do to help you, and keep your promise. That's the important thing. Well, I need to bring this broadcast to a close. And Lord Jesus, I just ask that you help all of us, Lord, that have heard these words, that as we would minister to those in loss, help us to be beacons of comfort and strength just by sharing the love of Jesus that you've placed within our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we'll see what the Lord has for us next time. Thank you for joining me. The announcer will give you our contact information. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,